Loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee so thankful to be able to do so, to come into Thy presence. Father, in the night, Lord, Thy song has been with us. And Lord, on this new day, Thou art commanding Thy loving kindness toward us. And for these things we give Thee thanks. And for these things we do pray unto Thee, Father, for Thou art the God of our life. And so we pray blessings upon this time that we would be together. We love Thee, we thank Thee, and pray this in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of John. Read chapter number 20. Beginning with verse number 19. Gospel of John, chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless the reading of his word. We find ourselves often in the house of the Lord, and that is good and healthy, in that we need to build our faith and strengthen those things which the Lord has led us to, and that we might come to renew ourselves and be stirred up yet again in our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and that which he has accomplished, those things which he hath done. And so it's always good and well for us when we are in the house of the Lord, stirring each other up and building each other's faith that we would have in the Lord Jesus Christ. A portion of the scripture that I would like to focus on and use as the pretext to the message this morning is found in the second half of verse number 29 that we read together, where Jesus says, Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This is us. We weren't there on the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. We didn't see the empty tomb. We didn't see We weren't there to hear the messages that Jesus spoke. We didn't see his bodily form, but yet we believe. We believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This reads as a beatitude, just as a beatitude, just as the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when he spoke those beatitudes. Now he is speaking these things again. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see things. Therefore, we walk by faith. We walk by faith in that we don't see physically those things that are contained here in the Scripture. But yet we believe. Yet we believe. And that faith is counted unto us as righteousness. This is what the Lord is calling us to. And so we see a situation here at a specific time. It's a very unique time of history, a very unique time in that Jesus Christ is walking here upon this earth in a resurrected state, but has not yet ascended. These are just very few days of history that transpired here, and we have the privilege of having documentation in the Scriptures of what transpired in those few days after Jesus was resurrected and before he ascended. It was a difficult time. It was a difficult time. The disciples didn't have a perfect and clear understanding of everything that transpired. They didn't understand fully everything. And so what they do know, though, is that their master had been crucified. And they just heard reports as of this morning that he was risen. They were in a position where, in a situation where they had no solutions. They had no solutions. And for us, we know that in such a condition, that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in, when there are no solutions. The apostles here had no solutions. And so it says here, as we began the reading of verse number 19, that it says, and the same day at evening. So this is the same day when Jesus rose from the dead, being the first day of the week. So this would have been a Sunday evening, the day that he rose from the dead, but yet in the evening. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They were behind closed doors, and they were in a place that is the opposite of faith, and that is fear. They were in fear. They were in fear of the Jews. They were in fear that, what are the Jews now going to do to us? They crucified our Lord and our Savior and our Master, the one whom we held with great regard. They crucified him, and now perhaps they're coming to look for us. And so they were behind closed doors, and they had fear of the Jews. Perhaps they were considering, well, maybe they, in that mob rage that they had, maybe they're looking for the person that cut off Malchus's ear. Maybe they were looking for those men of Galilee who were adherents to this man whom we crucified. And so they were in fear of the Jews. But Jesus is not calling us to fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's calling us to have faith. He's calling us to believe in him. He's calling us that when there is no solution for the situation that we are in, that we place our faith in him. No solutions. We are well in over our head. There's nothing we can do about this. We have faith in God. Why do we have faith in God? Because with him all things are possible. Because he can do all things. And so Jesus knows that they are here in this room, locked up in this room. And he appears. The Bible doesn't say exactly how he appeared, but he appeared to them, even behind closed doors. And the first words out of his mouth is, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. He wanted his disciples to experience peace as he stands there in the midst of them. They're in fear. They're wondering, what are they going to do? We don't have a solution here. And Jesus just appears, and they see him, and he says, peace be unto you. And Jesus came to give peace. the angels, as they, the angel of the Lord, as he appeared to the shepherds who were in the field watching their flocks by night when Jesus was born, the angel comes and makes this proclamation that Jesus was born, and he was born in Bethlehem. And after that angel makes that proclamation, the host of heaven come, and these shepherds witness it, and the hosts of heaven are praising God, saying, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And on earth peace. Goodwill to men." Jesus, from the very beginning, came to give peace. Peace on earth. And perhaps just short time before this happened, where they were in this room, maybe 2 weeks or less, maybe even less, that Jesus was with his disciples, and he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He was imparting unto them his peace. And here shortly after, they were in fear of the Jews. They had fear in their hearts. They had doubts. And yet again, the Lord is calling us, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Jesus also says, in addition to leaving his peace with them and giving his peace to them, Jesus, after he had spoken many things to them, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." That in Jesus Christ, and in only in Jesus Christ, can we have peace. They couldn't trust in the Pharisees or the spiritual leaders at that time, those who were in charge of the temple. They couldn't trust in the Roman government. The Roman government just issued a release that Jesus would be crucified. And he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." That will happen. In the world, there will be tribulation, but Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so it is in Jesus Christ that we place our faith in. And again, just we're here to stir up each other's faith, and we're here to place anchor our faith, our belief in him who can do all things, in Jesus Christ. That as there were no solutions for the situation that the disciples were in their time, at this time, that we might also recognize that we might go through times of our lives where there's simply just no solutions. It looks grim. It looks grim. It just looks like this is a bad situation. But it is in those times that we're being called to have faith in him. Have faith in him who can do all things. And so Jesus speaks to them as he arrives, and as he's in the midst of them. He sees these, I guess it would be 10 disciples. Thomas was not there. Judas already had betrayed him. And so Jesus appears to them, these disciples, and says, "Peace be unto you." And then he shows unto them his hands and his side. And then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Just as we sang this morning in that opening hymn. The disciples were jubilant. They were glad when they saw the Lord. This is he. They saw him. They saw him, and they knew that it was him, and he was in their midst. And so they were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus says to them again, okay, now you see me, and now you can confirm that it's me. And then, so he says now to them again, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." How do we come to a place of peace? How do we arrive there at a place of peace? Only but through faith. Only but through faith do we arrive at peace. No other way. Other things may give us a sense of comfort at a certain point of time, but soon we will be disappointed because everything else fails. But Jesus never fails. And so in him, we can have peace. And so he says to them, "Peace be unto you" again. And then he says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." He had finished his course. He had finished that work that his father had given him to do, and we read that in chapter 17 here of this gospel, where Jesus is praying to his father, and he says, "And Father, now I come to you," and he knew his work here on earth was done, and so as he was sent and did the work of his father, now he's saying, "Even so, send I you. Even so, send I you." And so the disciples were committed, and they were given direction to go forth and be witnesses of the gospel. And we read here in the next chapter that Jesus is saying to Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, walk by faith, serve in love." This is what Jesus was calling them to do, to walk by faith and then serve in love. And so it was that for Peter and the other apostles that they did. They fed the pasture, the sheep of the pasture of Jesus Christ. They fed them. And they brought forth the message. And we can see that there was even great success when Peter would preach to the multitude and he would tell them, "Repent and believe the gospel." And the Bible records that there was thousands that came and believed and were baptized. So sometimes it went very well as Jesus was saying, "So send I you. So send I you." Sometimes it went very well for them. There were many that had come to faith, but sometimes it didn't go well for them. James was beheaded. James was beheaded. And Herod thought, "Well, this is good. It pleased the Jews a lot. And so I'll do that with Peter as well and gain more advantage." And Peter had come to this place where he did have faith. And when Peter was in that prison waiting to be sentenced and have to give his life, as his fellow disciple James did, that he was at peace. He was at peace. He felt the peace of Jesus Christ, and he had that peace because of his faith in the Lord. And because he had that peace, he was able to sleep, even knowing that very soon he would likely get executed. But he had faith in the Lord, and he just simply trusted in the Lord. So they were sent. Sometimes things went well. Sometimes things didn't go very well. Many suffered scorn. Many had very difficult things brought to them in their lives as the apostles went forth and brought forth the gospel message to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike. There was difficulty, and yet there was also great blessings. Many came to the Lord. Likewise for us, we are sent, and we are to walk by faith and serve in love. Just as the disciples had to do, no different, to walk by faith and serve in love. We are sent likewise, as the disciples were. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." This was a very special time, where they were now being recipients of the promise that was given unto them. Jesus gave this promise and then now fulfilled this promise. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we see that there was a fulfillment of that. That the disciples went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we read that in the Acts of the Apostles. They went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth and witnessing of the things which Jesus has done. And the Comforter was with them and provided for them in God's goodness. So they received the Holy Spirit as Jesus breathed on them. They received the promise that Jesus gave unto them that the Holy Spirit would come. As we look through the Acts of the Apostles, we see that the Holy Spirit was given in different ways. We see there was this day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came and filled all that were gathered together and praying and worshiping in that place. And the Holy Spirit made himself very magnified there. There was a time later where the apostles laid their hands on individuals and they also received the Holy Spirit through faith and in prayer. There was also a time recorded in the Acts of the Apostles where the Apostle Peter, going to the first Gentile believer, Cornelius, and preaching the gospel to Cornelius, and as Peter is preaching the gospel to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came down. So in different manners, here Jesus breathed on them. There was a time of Pentecost, there was the time of the laying on of the hands, and there was the time when simply the gospel was being preached and the Holy Spirit came down. But they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, they were then able to witness of the many infallible proofs of Jesus Christ. And that power was given unto them, as we read on Wednesday night here in Acts chapter 1. Jesus says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. They were to bring forth and spread forth the gospel message of having faith in Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God and who is the Son of God and lives forevermore. And so they were sent, and they were sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, which was promised unto them. So the disciples, these disciples who were there when the Lord appeared to them on that Sunday evening, they share with Thomas. They share with Thomas, says, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." Thomas didn't rejoice. Thomas didn't ask for questions for clarity. Thomas, we refer to him as Doubting Thomas, but here it seems that he was filled with his own ways. He was leaning upon himself, and he wouldn't even allow the word of the witness of his fellow disciples to impact him or allow him to come to faith. He says to them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He's referred to as Doubting Thomas, but to me this reads as worse than that, not simply just doubting, but that he's filled with himself. He's filled with himself and refuses to believe. There's a proverb that says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Filled with his own ways. Thomas was filled with his own ways here. He would not believe the report of his fellow disciples who were there, who saw the Lord. What part of that didn't he understand when the disciple says, "We have seen the Lord"? What part of that wouldn't he believe? He was filled with his own ways. And when we are filled with our own ways, when we will not heed to the counsel of others or to a certainty of the scriptures, then we're filled with our own ways. And that's what it means to be a backslider in the heart. When we're just simply filled with our own ways, we won't believe the reports. We won't believe scripture. It's a very dangerous and dark place to be. And so it is that 8 days later, all the disciples are within again, and the door was shut. Jesus comes and stands in the midst of them and says, "Peace be unto you." So here it is, a Monday. It'd be 8 days after he appeared to the disciples the first time. And he appears to the 11 disciples now, and he... He makes himself manifest. He makes himself manifest. And again, the first desire is that peace would be to them. That was his desire. No need to fear. No need to fret. No need to wallow around in what's happening. How are we going to get through this situation where we have no solutions? No need. No, just have faith and let that faith allow peace to be in your heart. And so he tells them, peace be unto you. And then he directs his attention to Thomas. And he says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach thither thy hand and thrust it through my side. And be not faithless, but believing. The Lord Jesus knew the exact words of Thomas when he responded to this other disciples who said, we have seen the Lord. He responded by saying, I need to stick my finger into the print of his hands. I need to thrust my hand into his side. And Jesus used those exact words that Thomas used. Take your finger that you talked about and put it here in the print of my nails, of the nails in my hand. Take that hand that you were talking about and put it into my side. And then come to that point of faith. Come to that point of faith. Jesus says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Thomas needed to see. Thomas needed to see. He didn't have the faith that the Lord was calling him to. And Thomas answers and says, my Lord and my God. Thomas then came to faith. Thomas then came to believe that Jesus, though he was in this bodily form, was deity. That he has a divine origin. That he was his Lord and that he was his God. That the Godhead had come here, a part of the Godhead had come here upon this earth and took upon himself flesh and blood that we might be saved. And so Jesus responds to them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. It's almost like, congratulations, Thomas. You saw and now you believe. Like, that wasn't a very major good feat. That was pretty easy to do. Because you saw me, now you believe. But then Jesus says, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And then John, the apostle here, he's concluding his writing here of all the things that had transpired. Here he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. There were many things that Jesus did. What else did Jesus say to his disciples when he showed up to them? They're not recorded here, but certainly he said other things. What transpired in those 8 days from the time that Jesus appeared to the disciples without Thomas till the time he appeared to the disciples with Thomas? What happened in those 8 days? Certainly there was some wonderful, beautiful things that the Lord had done in those days. And what else did Jesus say to Thomas and to his disciples? What else did he encourage them in their faith that they would believe and that they would go forth in the power of the Spirit? As he would ascend back to his Father. What else was said? What else was done? John says, many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It's not necessary for the gospel to be believed that every miracle would be explained to the fullest, or that there would be a description and given a detail of all the deeds that were done. That's not necessary. John continues on and he says, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have a life through his name. These are written. And so the apostles did go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they did proclaim the gospel message to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. And they had written these gospels, and they had written epistles, and we come to believe this witness. Ye shall be witnesses of me throughout the world, Jesus says. And he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And so the disciples went forth, and they brought forth this message, this gospel message. And enough has been written that we might come to the point where we walk by faith and serve in love. The disciples had come to the point where they walked by faith and they served in love. They didn't have much. Peter sees the crippled man by the temple. He says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." They went forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. They believed. They walked by faith, and they served in love. They served in love to many who they came in contact with. Likewise, we are called to walk by faith and serve in love. Walking by faith. We often ask, what can we do? What can we do that we might work the works of God? Well, Jesus says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Come to faith. Come to faith. Come to believe. When you're in a situation where there are no solutions, have faith. Have faith. Believe. Believe. Jesus is calling us to work this work of God, that we would believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus also said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." When we believe the gospel message, when we believe this plan of salvation which the Lord hath wrought in our midst, when we believe that, we don't have any more condemnation. We don't have any more condemnation. We don't have a judgment that's waiting for us. We don't have a condemnation. And we are passed from death unto life. This is what the Lord is calling us to. Mark records in his gospel that Jesus, when he was in this time frame of being resurrected from the dead and not having yet ascended to the Father, that he tells his disciples that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Very simple, very simple. Not hard to understand at all. That's very simple. If we believe and are baptized, we will be saved. These are the words of Jesus Christ. As he has promised the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came, he is also promising that if we believe and are baptized, we shall be saved. But if we believe not, we will be damned. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Now, we also need to be sincere in our faith. We need to recognize that there are times when we are as Thomas or the other disciples, when they didn't quite get it, they didn't quite understand all things, and they had some doubt. We likewise need to recognize that there are some times that we're going to have doubt, and we need to just simply cry out to the Lord. There was a time when Jesus and his three disciples came down from off the Mount of Transfiguration, and the other disciples were trying to expel a spirit out of a man's son, and it wasn't working out. It just wasn't happening. And it was, again, a dire situation. A dire situation. And Jesus arrives and asks some questions. How long has he been in this state? And And he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He tells the father of this son who is possessed with these demons, he tells the father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father just simply cries out. He's exasperated. He has no solutions to this situation where he has with his son. And the man's the dad of the child says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And sometimes when we come to the Lord, we simply need to come in that manner likewise. Lord, I believe. I believe that with thee, thou canst do all things. With thee, nothing is impossible. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. The Lord is calling us to walk by faith and to serve by love, serve in love. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he speaks about that armament that we are to put on. And he says, and above all things, put on the shield of faith. Put on that shield of faith. Believe. And by that, you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, when something's glowing, like a piece of metal is glowing red hot, it's dangerous if you come near it or touch it. There's great danger there. And it can melt things that maybe are of value if you put it too close to this glowing red piece of metal. But if you stick that glowing red metal into water, it quenches it. And immediately that power of that red hot metal is taken away. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, have that shield of faith, whereby we will be able to quench, to put out that power of the wicked. By faith. By faith. That's how that happens, is by faith. So John wrote that gospel. John also wrote some epistles. And he says, speaking about Jesus also, how he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he writes, the Apostle John writes in his epistle, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What's the victory that overcomes the world? It's our faith. It's our faith. That's what will help us to overcome the world. It's our faith. Nothing less. The Apostle Peter, again, one who ran to the tomb, saw it empty, walked away more perplexed than convinced, and who had had some checkered past. He had some victories and he had some losses. But in his state where he knew that, as Jesus told him, in the end of your life, at the end of your life, when you were young, you were able to gird yourself, you were able to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And by that he knew that he would suffer at the end of his life, and he would have to give his life for the Lord. But when he came to full faith, he was not in that state of fear any longer as he was in times past. He was able to boldly proclaim the gospel. He was able to boldly to live the life that would please the Lord. And when the time would come that he would have to put off this tabernacle, as his Lord had showed him, that he did so in faith. But he writes in his epistle by saying, he that believeth on him, on Jesus Christ, shall not be confounded. Just a real simple message. He that believeth on Jesus Christ shall not be confounded. Peter experienced many things in his life. Many things. And often there was perplexities. Often there was confusion. But Jesus says, he that believeth on Jesus shall not be confounded. They won't be perplexed. They won't be confused. When we believe on Jesus Christ, we won't be perplexed. We won't be confused. We won't be confounded. We will have a peace in our hearts that, well, this is beyond me. I don't know how to handle this. I can't do anything about it. But I can have peace knowing that the Lord knows, and with him all things are possible. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen.